Myrna and I met Ralph and Ruth Sharesky about 33 years ago. It was not Ruth Sharesky back then, it was Ruth Evenden. And we met at Bible College in Regina. It was so cold and ugly in Regina that all we had time to do was socialize. Nothing else to do there. So we met some very special people that became very dear friends, and Ralph and Ruth have remained good friends over the years. They are no stranger to you. They have been in this church a number of times. Just a couple things that I really love about Ralph and Ruth. First of all, they're patient. They went to Germany as missionaries, and Germany is a very, very difficult mission field, and they've stuck it out and seen God do some remarkable things. They're soft. They're not hard. Sometimes those in the ministry can get a little hard because of life's difficulties. They've remained very soft-hearted. They're teachable. They are willing to try different things. They're always growing and learning. And finally, they are very, very fun, cool people. And here they are today. We're so blessed to have them. I trust that as they share, that something will be imparted to Pacific Community Church that we desperately need at this time in our history. So Ralph and Ruth, we're so glad that you're here. We love you guys. Thanks for coming to PCC. And we welcome you now.
Thank you for that warm welcome. We are delighted to be here. And it is a privilege to be a part of what God is doing and to hear the potential that is among you and to know that God has a future that is blessed with his presence. And our future is as bright as his promises are. And so we can trust him. And so we will continue to pray with you as you enter into this season of seeking him for direction in your lives. As Brian said, we've been in the country of Germany a number of years. This summer will mark 22 years. I can't even believe it. What would you do for 22 years in a country that isn't your home? We spent the first 10 years in an administrative role. We had obviously to learn the language. Just throw up a couple of pictures just to help you geographically. You'll see on the left where Germany is situated in Europe. Many people love to go to Europe as a place of vacation. We have the joy of living in a place where we're 5 hours from Paris, 5 hours to Amsterdam, 5 hours to Geneva, 4 hours to Salzburg, 5 to Berlin. I mean, we're situated in an amazing place. It's one of those things where you say, some of your friends who are colleagues, you know, the Sawatskis have been in Africa, hard place to live, but great place to minister. Sometimes we felt like, this is a great place to live, but a hard place to minister. And so there are some nice side benefits of living and being able to be a part of a place where many people love to come on vacation. But we've lived in the city of Mannheim, see on the right-hand side, which is just about half an hour south of Frankfurt. And Mannheim is the fifth largest population metropolis in all of Germany. It's a smaller area than the Lower Mainland, but has as many people, 2.2 million people in the greater Mannheim area. And believe it or not, God has given us a role or put a passion in our hearts to make a difference in this whole region. As I said, we lived the first 10 years, we've lived in Mannheim the whole time, and the first 10 years just involved in helping other missionaries, being a team leader. And the last 10 years, we basically poured our hearts into planting a church. And the Lord has given us grace and to be able to hang in there. Brian said, you know, talking about patience, we've learned patience. And but God has given us grace and favor. And I was reading recently, you can't do anything to stop God's favor. You can't do anything to stop God's favor. If you have his favor, nothing can stop it. So we just want to live in his favor. And so the last 10 years, we've been involved in planting a church in this city. And for the first 5 of those 10 years, we just thought, maybe we're not the right people to be planting a church. You know, we had about 25, 30 people for the longest time. And we have a building that's not quite as big as this. But imagine setting up chairs you know, for 100 people and there's 25 sitting in there, and you know, you get people coming in and you think, is this the warm-up meeting, or you know, what's this all about? This is it. And people would come, they'd leave, and think, you know, we don't want to be a part of this little bitty thing. But God gave grace, and now there are about 150 people a part of that. And some people have said, if you can raise up 150 people in Germany, just add zero on. That's kind of the equivalent of what you would have in North America. I don't know if that's true or not, but God has given us his favor. We came to Germany with our two little boys. If we'll go to the next picture. These two little boys are now married. On the left, is Amanda, our oldest son's wife. They got married. They're now living in Calgary. And then there's myself, I believe. Yes, my white hair disappears into the white of that back building there. Then our newest daughter-in-law, made in Germany, Uli is her name, like the Grand Coulee Dam. Just take the k part off, and you've got Uli. And our son, Stephen, married this wonderful young German woman. So, I mean, even though our lives are already so connected to Germany, now they're, you know, anchored there in a way that they'll never, that will never change. And Uli and Stephen got married last summer, August. Next week, they're celebrating 6 months of marriage, hard to believe. And they live in Mannheim, in the city where we've been these last 20-some years. And then Ruth, you see, still holding on to Stephen. She did let him go eventually. And then our daughter Krista, kind of hiding in behind. And she was also made in Germany, born in Germany, in Mannheim. And she's now 18 years old and finished her schooling and is now studying at Ambrose, the Alliance University College in Calgary. And then my oldest brother, Larry, some of you may know him. He was there in Mannheim for the wedding. These last 10 years, last 5 years, we've had a goal. We saw this church start, and we asked God, we didn't come here to pastor this church forever and a day, but we believe, God, that you would allow us to be like a Barnabas and find a Paul and find a couple who would be able to take over this this church. And God gave us that couple. And the next picture shows them, Andale and Jesse. They are an amazing couple, a gift from the Lord. The Lord brought them to us, and we had the joy of mentoring them, taking them through an internship process. And he's a full-time teacher. She's a stay-at-home mom. And we have a whole concept, a whole approach to leadership that's maybe a little unique. Can't tell you all about that this morning, but they are a gift of the Lord to the body of Christ. And they, on November 2nd, took over the leadership of that church and have released us now to a vision that we believe God is calling us to, helping them as a young congregation plant other churches in that huge area, Greater Mannheim. And so, in fact, they are coming here to Canada at Easter for their Easter break. And I hope some of you, at least some of your staff, will be able to meet them. We'll bring them by for coffee. And but they are a delight to know. And God is going to use that congregation as he is yours. And so we thank you for this opportunity to be here this morning. We're going to relate just a few ideas with you this morning, kind of as a reflection on the story of Nehemiah, what God did in Nehemiah's life. He knew his city, he loved his city, and he arose on behalf of his city. And so we're going to reflect on that. Ruth is going to come and do the first two, and how Nehemiah knew his city, how God has allowed us to have an understanding of our area. He's given us a passion for this area that we live in and has helped us arise on behalf of that city. So follow with us as we reflect, and it'll also be a challenge for you as we do that together this morning. Just before Ruth does that, I always forget to do this. We have a new prayer card. It's black and white to highlight my gray hair. And there's a little table just in the back out through those doors. If you'd like to be a part of what we're doing and just be reminded to pray for us, you can take that. There's also a sign-up sheet there if you want to get a quasi-regular update. We don't promise anything, but we will not bother you every day. We will not bother you every week. perhaps once every 4 or 5 weeks. And we also have these bands. They have the three colors of the German flag. Helps remember how to pray for the country, pray against the spiritual blindness, plead the blood of Christ upon that nation, and pray that his kingdom will come. So if you would like to be a part of that, I will just give that to somebody this morning.
Woke you up. I just thought it's really exciting for us to be here at this time in your history when you're talking about vision and about seeking God, listening to God and listening to each other about where he wants to take you in the future. And so I hope that today maybe just we're just sharing some of the things that God's done in our city of Mannheim, some of the things he's taught us, some of the things he's led us into. And I hope it encourages you. And I hope that maybe it'll just spark something for your thinking about the future as well. We're going to just, you can let the video run. I hope you can multitask. You can watch the pictures and listen to me at the same time. And if you can't, then close your eyes and just listen to me. We won't take time to read a lot from Nehemiah this morning, but it's very interesting, even just the first couple of chapters, reading about Nehemiah, and he was away from his city, Jerusalem, but he had Jerusalem on his heart. And just want to use that as a picture to encourage you to have your city on your heart. And the first thing is to know your city. We have been living in Mannheim for over 20 years, and we're still getting to know it. There's so many cafes and so little time, but so many little interesting places to go and interesting things to find out about our city. But it really helps to know your city and to realize that God knows your city, and what can you find out about it? And as you find things out, to ask God, what does this mean spiritually? For example, the name of your city. Mannheim means the home of man, and pretty obvious. Cloverdale, I was thinking about that, the Dale of Clover, I don't know. But anyway, to ask God, what does this mean spiritually? What does this mean for our church? Because when we were starting the church 11 years ago now, we had a period of time when we were waiting on God. We were asking him, what should we call our church? No one has ever heard of the Christian and Missionary Alliance there. And if you translate that into German, you know how long that would be there. You know, it would be one word probably. So anyway, we were asking God what we should name our church. And the name that he gave us was Haus des Herrn, which means house of the Lord. But the whole idea of the house, which we always also have in our logo, and we're a cell church, and so we do a lot of things in our homes, was the idea of a place to come home, a place to be at home, the Father's house, a place to come home to the Father, place to belong, family, all those kind of things. And those are also things that are reflected in the values of our city. Our city was started as a city in 1604. We just celebrated 400 years as a city, not 400 years of people living there. And when they started the city, one of the sort of cornerstones of the city was that it would be a place of refuge, a place where people could come and be safe and be accepted, a place of tolerance, place of love. And for example, Huguenots who were being persecuted in France came and lived in Mannheim, and there was a whole section of the city that was given to them. And so it has been that sort of a place, and it still prides itself on being very tolerant and very accepting. And so we've prayed also that God would make our church a place of acceptance and warmth and a place of grace. It's also interesting to find out, to research a little bit about the history of your city and ask God what spiritual significance that might have. A couple of things that are really interesting about Mannheim. One is that it's been a city of innovation and invention. The first bicycle was invented in Mannheim, and the first car. There was this guy named Carl Benz. Might have heard that name, and his daughter was Mercedes, and he invented the first car, and the thing is that's really cool is that actually his wife took it for the first test drive, but since her name is Bertha, they didn't name a car after her. I don't know, it just didn't have quite the same ring. Got the new Bertha in them, yeah. Anyway, she took it for the first test drive, and then the first tractor was invented there, one of the first planetariums in Europe is there. So it's a place of innovation and invention. We've asked God to also do that in our ministry, to keep us open, to keep us creative. We use the arts a lot in our worship to just keep us sort of on the edge, not just to be innovative, but where he's leading us to be innovative and to do things differently, to be open to that. The other thing about Mannheim is that it's very connected to music. Mozart lived in Mannheim for a couple of years, and at the time when he played in the court in Mannheim, the orchestra there was the best orchestra in Europe. Now, nobody's ever heard of that now, but there was a thing called the Mannheimer Schule, which was a school of music in Mannheim that was well-known throughout Europe. And so we have a long history of music in the classical sense, but also now we have something called the Pop Academy, which is the only academy for pop music in Europe. And so it's just an amazing thing. We actually have the privilege of having some of those musicians in our church. And it's just sort of a thing that Mannheim's a bit on the map as a pop music place in Germany. And so this is one of the things that we've also asked God, what do you want to do with music in our church? And this is something he put on our heart very early, partly because of our gifting and some of us who started the church. But music and worship has always been very important to us. And a few years ago, we were looking at Isaiah 62, and in the Message, it talks about praying and sort of bothering God until he makes Jerusalem famous as a city of praise. And that phrase just really struck us, and we felt the Holy Spirit was putting his finger on that and saying, that's what I want you to pray for Mannheim, that it will become famous as a city of praise. And not so that Mannheim will be famous, but so that God will be made more famous in Europe and in Germany. And so that's one of the things that we're praying that God will allow us to have a part in. And then sometimes it's also really good to know about the demographics of your city. We have 170 nations in our city, in Mannheim. And that is incredible. It is so amazing what God is doing in these days, and he's doing it here too. He's bringing people out of countries where they wouldn't have a chance to hear the gospel, and he's bringing them here, and they're your neighbors and your work colleagues. And that is so cool, because maybe they're from, who knows where, North Africa or China or wherever. We've run into Chinese students who've said, "You're talking about Jesus? I've never heard about Jesus. Tell me about him." You know, like, it's just so incredible, the opportunities that we have and that you have here to just minister to people who are from all over the world and who haven't had a chance to hear. So know your city. Know what God's doing in your city. And then love your city. Sometimes when you get to know your city, you find out all the bad stuff too. Just like Nehemiah, what he was finding out about his city was that although it had been glorious and beautiful, that's how he knew it, now it was all broken down, the walls were broken down, things were overgrown, there were weeds, and, you know, it was just a mess. And as you get to know your city, it's a mess, right? I mean, we've had this whole thing of all these shootings in the area recently. It's kind of like, that's not how I think of Vancouver area. But when you get to know your city, you choose to love it, just like you choose to love your family and your church, all of which are never perfect, but your city is also not perfect, but you choose to love it because this is where God's put you. And just on that point, maybe you're sitting here thinking, well, of course, you're a missionary. You're paid to go to some other city, get to know it and love it and serve it and so on. But I just want to remind you that God has called every one of you just as much to Cloverdale or wherever you live as he's called us to Mannheim. It's his calling on your life to be here right now. It doesn't matter if you were born here and grew up here, if you came here for work, or if you don't even like living here. It doesn't really matter, because God's called you and put you here right now. And I'm excited about how your church is looking at what kind of church do we want to be here, and what do we want to do in this area, because this is where God's called you to love your city with and embrace it with all its imperfections and choose to speak well of it. That's one way of loving your city, is to choose to speak well of it. When all the people around you at work are complaining and griping and whatever, choose to speak well of your city. Choose to find and rehearse and remind people of the really good things about your city. And then another way to love your city is to pray for it. And in the story of Nehemiah, you'll find him praying for his city and weeping over his city. Jesus wept also over Jerusalem. You know, maybe it's been a long time since you've really wept over your city. If you read the newspaper, that could help you. If you need to weep over your city, pray through your newspaper. Like read the story of the person that was shot and think about what does that mean for that person's family and for all the, you know, all the families that are touched by that incident, and pray for them and ask God to give you his heart for your city. Pray as you walk down the street. We do prayer walking, and it's a cool thing to do, but we also try and just make it a personal practice whenever we're walking down our street or anywhere in our city, just be praying for our city and just saying, Lord, I love this city. Just Holy Spirit, come down and just touch the city and pour yourself out on the city and look at that person there and whatever, you know, just wherever you're going, you're standing in line at the grocery store, you're sitting on the, we have streetcars, or you're sitting on the bus or whatever, just to be in prayer for your city. And that's part of stirring up God's heart for your city. And then you can love your city by actively promoting unity among the churches. There's something so powerful when churches come together. Churches that may not agree on every little thing, but who love and serve Jesus as Lord and as the only way to God. We have found some really amazing things in cooperating and caring for other leaders in our city. We meet every Thursday morning for prayer. It's about 15 of us. And it's become such a cool, caring community. There's people from everywhere, Pentecostal, Baptist, Salvation Army, Lutheran, whatever. And we're together. We care for each other. We've made a commitment. When new people come to the city, when new pastoral couple come, we gather around them. We lay hands on them, pray for them. We promise to speak well of them. We promise not to be in competition with them. We promise to weep with them when they weep and rejoice with them when they rejoice. And when their church is growing, to rejoice that the church in Mannheim is growing, not like, oh, they're growing, what's wrong with us, or whatever. Or we've helped each other with evangelistic events, and it doesn't really matter who gets the people, you know, or whose name is on something. And there has been such blessing that's come out of that. We pray together. We have sort of a tower, kind of like the Calgary Tower, and we gather people from all different churches. Maybe every 3 months or so, we go up in this tower, and we can see the whole city. And we walk around and we look out over the city and we pray for it. And it's just so powerful being there with people from other churches. They have different perspectives and they have different ways of doing church, and it's just cool to see the mosaic that the body of Christ is in a place. We've sometimes loaned people to another church to help them with an alpha course or a youth program or something, whatever. But loving your city by really actively promoting unity of the church in the city is a really big thing. And then the last thing, so you can pray for your city, you can promote unity among the churches, and you can bless your city, you can love your city by worshiping. And when we're worshiping here this morning, and we're talking about how amazing God is, and we're proclaiming how great he is, we are doing something that does something in the unseen realm. And when you think about all the other churches, and when you're blessing, when we gather to pray before the service, an hour before the service, we always pray for and bless the other churches in the city that are meeting that morning. And when you do that, there's such a sense that we are all together and we're worshiping God together, and we're worshiping him for our city. We started something we call call Praise Squared. That's kind of a long story because our city is in squares and there's a lot of stuff about squared and everything. So we have this long night of worship. Our city does a thing called Long Night of the Museum. All the museums are open till 3 in the morning. You get one ticket. You can go to any museum. There's all kinds of special events going on. And they have this great poster, and they have the sign of a bed with the line through it, you know. And we thought, that's a really cool idea. Wouldn't it be cool if we did a long night of worship? So we started doing that. We invite 3 or 4 bands from other churches. Each does an hour of worship. We switch off, and we had some other rooms, some quiet rooms and communion room and a painting room and different things. And it's just been so cool to get together as churches. Again, it's the unity of the church. But it's also with a real consciousness that what we are doing when we are worshiping together in unity is opening up the heavens. And it's allowing space, or it's allowing more freedom for the Holy Spirit to come and bless our city. So when you're worshiping, it is a weapon. There's a verse in Psalm 149 that says they will have the high praise of God in their mouth and a double-edged sword in their hand. And I think that worship is a way of warring, of spiritual warfare, and of proclaiming the truth of God and who he is over your city. So that's one of the really amazing ways of loving your city. Knowing your city and then loving it by praying for it, speaking well of it, promoting unity, and worshiping God for your city.
Just a few comments to conclude our time here this morning. This won't be a sermon in a nutshell, but just a couple of thoughts from Nehemiah. If you have your Bible with you, Nehemiah is found just before the book of the Psalms, which is right in the middle of your Bible. And Nehemiah, as Ruth said, he knew about his city. He found out as much as he could what the condition of the city was. And then he prayed, and God just revealed his heart. He poured out his heart. He fasted. He wept. He sat down and prayed for some days before the God of heaven. And you read his prayer in chapter 1. He goes to the king because he's in a servant role before the king. The king sees his countenance and he says, "Why are you so sad?" And he says, "Well, who wouldn't be sad when the city," this is chapter 2, verse 3, "why should my face not look sad when the city where my fathers are buried lies in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire?" And then he prays because the king says, "So what do you want?" And he prays this quick prayer, and then he says, "If it pleases the king," verse 5 of Nehemiah chapter 2, "if it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in his sight, let him send me to the city." Nehemiah, his heart is just burdened for his city. And this only comes as a revelation of God's heart for the city. God's purposes for the city need to be fulfilled. And then at the end of verse 8, he says, I'm going to go to this place. And he gets all the permission, he gets all the help that he needs. And he says, "And because the gracious hand of my God was upon me, the king granted my request." Here's where this idea of favor begins. Nothing can stop the favor of God. I was listening to this song by Israel Houghton, however you say his name, from Texas. And it's just an amazing song. Came out of his live album from South Africa. "Nothing can stop the favor of my God." I can't do it very well, but it's just been ringing in my heart. Nothing can stop the favor of God. And then he arises. And this is the third part we wanted to just share with you this morning. God put Germany in our hearts. Even as a five-year-old, he put Germany already into my heart. I don't have time to explain it all today. Went there when I was 18 to Cape Henry Bible School, and he made it very clear, "Someday you're coming back here." It's a whole long story. But God put Germany into my heart, and it says here in verse 12, "I set out during the night with a few men." He'd gone to Jerusalem. He arose, and he says, "And I had not told anyone what God had put in my heart to do for Jerusalem." So this is a God thing. This isn't just, you know, pure and simple, "Let's gather the facts, let's do some nice praying, and then let's do something." But God will put something in your heart. And I think the process you're going to go through, God is going to put things into your heart for your area where you live. He saw the broken conditions. He saw the gates broken down, verse 13, things that had been destroyed by fire. And then the officials came along, and then he says to them in verse 17, "You see the trouble we are in." He knew the city, he had arisen, he'd come. And then he says, "It lies in ruins, its gates have been burned with fire. Come, let us rebuild the walls of Jerusalem." He rallies them to join in with him. And it says, "And we will no longer be in disgrace. I also told them about the gracious hand of my God upon me and what the king had said to me, favor, favor, favor. Nothing's going to stop the favor of God." They replied, "Let us start rebuilding. We're with you, Nehemiah. We sense God's favor." So they began this good work. And then came the opposition, and the number of chapters later, you hear about the opposition, the mocking, the ridiculing. Whenever you enter into what God wants to do, you can expect opposition. But when the favor of God is upon you, nothing can stop it. And it says here, and this is how Nehemiah answers, and with this I want to conclude this morning. And I answered them because these other people were ridiculing, were mocking. What are you trying to do? This isn't politically correct. Are you rebelling against the king? This doesn't fit. And Nehemiah says, and I answered them by saying, the God of heaven will give us success. He put it into our hearts. The favor of God is upon us through the king. Nothing can stop us. The favor of God is upon us. And I challenge you this morning, I invite you this morning to, and we thank you for joining us and partnering with us in what God is doing in Germany. And I invite you to continue to join with us because we need your prayer as you give to missions ministry, the Global Advance Fund. You keep us there and you send us back. And we need your partnership for the huge task that's ahead of us. God has put it in our hearts to see this church multiply itself in that whole region. There are so many towns and villages and cities that need the gospel. We have two potential projects, even as we go back for church plants. One house group is 30 kilometers northeast of the city, and there are six young people there who just say, we've got to reach our place. We've got to reach this place. They're meeting Mondays for their cell group, and Thursdays just to pray. And I believe that in the next couple of years, we're going to see a church planted there. But it's way beyond what we can do. We don't have any big plans. We don't have any big strategies. But we're just waiting before God, and we're saying, God, you've put this in our heart, and we believe you're going to give us what we need to make that happen. But I challenge you this morning. The King of Heaven, the God of Heaven, is among you. He is going to give you all that you need. His favor is there because it is his heart that he will reveal to yourself. And the key is not our strategies. The key is not our plans. The key is the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ and his heart for your city. He loves you so much. He loves us. He loves Mannheim. And he's going to reveal all that he needs to reveal to us. And he will give favor. A phrase that was on my heart this morning as I was praying about this was, the DNA of a Jesus movement is present in every one of you. The DNA of a Jesus movement, what he wants to do in this region, wherever you live, and the DNA of the gospel is present in every one of you, and he will release it, and I believe he's going to do it. It says in Isaiah, and I say for the last time, I'm going to conclude with these words, if I can find it. It says in Isaiah, arise, and I'm going to ask you in a moment to arise. We're going to listen, and if you know the song, we're going to sing it together. Arise and shine, for your light has come. The DNA of the gospel for a Jesus movement is here. Arise, Pacific Community Church, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth. When you get to know your region, when you get to know your city, you'll see the problems. You'll see the brokenness. You'll see the broken down families and all the social problems. Darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the glory of the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Arise, Pacific Community Church. The glory of the Lord is upon you. I'm praying for a holy uprising for this church. We're going to sing as we conclude this presentation. You may not know the song, but I ask you to just stand with me right now. You are the God of the city. Our only hope is in the God that God loves your neighbors, that God loves your friends, that God loves your work colleagues. He loves your family. And he, the glory of the Lord is already upon you, and he invites us this morning to arise on behalf of your city. Pray with Nehemiah as that king said, as he said to that king, please send me to the city. May that be your heart's cry this morning. He is the God of the city.
You're the God of this city. You're the King of these people. You're the Lord of this nation. You are. You're the light in this darkness. You're the hope to the hopeless. You're the peace to the restless. You are. There is no one like our God.
Maybe this means that there's more of this song for our church yet to sing, and that we've started singing it this morning. And what we're really meant to do is pray together that God will impart to us his vision and impart his favor to us as a church for this next season that we're in. So since we're standing, I'm going to do something that I've never done here before, and if you're visiting here, just feel free just to stand there and feel uncomfortable. It's fine. But I would like us to break into little tiny groups of three or four, and to waste no time introducing ourselves, I would like us to begin to pray that God would indeed do for us and our city what we've heard God doing in Mannheim. So I'm going to meet with this little group right here, and you meet with whoever you want to, but don't go far, and then we'll have communion together and seal all of this together. So let's pray, and in about a minute and a half, I'll close the prayer time.